Now on that same day, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other and about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. In the Ohio congregation where I served for 32 years, I became good friends with the leader of the Salvation Army. We talked a lot about our ministry together and about our theology. The conversation that I remember most is the conversation we had about Holy Communion. Now, if you do an internet search, and I've done this, what is communion in the Salvation Army? You'll get this answer. The Salvation Army does not practice communion in its worship services. And the explanations after that are all about the lack of communion in the Salvation Army. Now, that's true enough. But that's not how Chris, the first name of the Ohio Salvation Army leader, explained it to me. He told me that based on today's story, that every time believers are at a meal, that's communion. Now, I'm not teaching this as Lutheran theology, but I have to tell you that I like that concept. Based on today's story,
Every time we break bread, sometimes often used as a term for having a meal together. Every time we share a meal together, Jesus is present. We certainly believe that. We believe that Jesus is really and truly present in Holy Communion, in, with, and through the bread and wine. But in a real way, Jesus is present at every meal we share. We Lutherans don't call every meal communion, but we do believe that Jesus is present. Luke, the storyteller, wants us to know that the risen Lord can be recognized in the breaking of the bread. Luke wants us to know that the risen Lord is with us as we travel life's journey. Wherever we travel, Jesus walks with us. In today's story, Jesus enters into the journey of two sad disciples. Our translation said they're sad. The Greek word there also means gloomy. They were gloomy. They're grieving the death of Jesus. So Jesus, the traveler, asks them to share their grief. Notice that as they explained their grief, they called Jesus a prophet. Whatever happened to Jesus being Messiah? Whatever happened to Jesus being the Son of God? They just said he's a prophet. They explained that they had hoped that Jesus would redeem Israel. That's Bible talk. That means they expected Jesus to overthrow the Roman government. The phrase "they had hoped" implies that they saw the mission of Jesus as a failure. He was condemned to death, they said. He was crucified. To them, that was failure. Their hope in Jesus was completely gone. And they were also confused because some of the women said that Jesus was alive. Now, if you think that having women preachers in the 21st century is a problem, imagine what it was like in the first century. Trust me, it was worse. So these two disciples were sad and gloomy, depressed. They were marinating in grief. Jesus responds to their grief. He listens to them, and then he responds. Oh, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe the scriptures. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that it's helpful to say to a grieving or a gloomy person, how foolish you are. It just doesn't sound compassionate. So why would Jesus say that to them? Well, you know me by now. I'm going to research the original Greek and the Greek word for foolish. And to no surprise, I'm going to tell you that I don't think it's the best translation, even though the 70 translations I looked at have the word foolish there. And in fact, some translations, Jesus even calls them fools. I don't buy it. The Greek word here, anoiatoi, refers to a person's knowledge, their mind. Jesus is saying to them, oh, you who don't understand everything. Oh, you don't have all the information you need. Jesus is not calling them fools. He's saying you're uninformed. Jesus is saying your thinking is limited. We need to expand what you're thinking. To lack knowledge and to think you know it all, that's where they get the term foolish. But it doesn't translate well in this context because it sounds like an insult. And generally, the word foolish in our English language is derogatory. I cannot believe that in this story, in this context, Jesus was being derogatory to those two men on the road to Emmaus. He was saying, you have more to learn. Don't get stuck in what you think you know. Don't get stuck in what you've even learned from childhood. And so Jesus teaches them. And between the lines, I think Jesus is saying, you know, you should have listened to the women. Jesus teaches them what they're missing. Jesus teaches them that what the women were saying was true. And he tells them the story of salvation and how he fits into this whole story of salvation. So with some knowledge, with teaching, and then with a meal, they recognize Jesus. Looking back on their walk, they recognize that they'd been in the presence of Jesus all along, but they hadn't recognized him. Luke, the storyteller, is telling his listeners, you don't have to see Jesus physically to recognize him. When the two disciples on the road to Emmaus recognized Jesus, he vanished. He was no longer in their presence. He wasn't there physically, but they knew that he was still with them. And they knew then that he would always be with them. This story gives us a model for us on how to recognize Jesus in our lives, on our journey. Every time my Salvation Army friend sits at a meal with his family, with his church family, with his friends, with strangers even, he believes that Jesus is present. Every time we went out to lunch together, for him that was communion. And so when we pray at a meal, at home, at church, in a restaurant, when we pray, we're recognizing the presence of the risen Lord with us. When we're out walking a 7-mile journey, well, I'm still working on 3, or even a shorter walk, Luke, the storyteller, is telling us that Jesus shows up and is walking with us. When you're walking along life's journey and you're thinking about a loved one who's died, or you're thinking about an upcoming medical procedure or surgery, Luke is telling us that Jesus, the risen Lord, shows up. Even if you can't walk, if you're in a hospital bed or on a couch at home, or maybe you're frustrated that you can't walk. Luke is telling us Jesus shows up. Whenever you're sad or gloomy, the risen Lord shows up and is with you. Now, we don't always recognize the Lord's presence as we're going through such times. In my experience, we usually don't. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, there are times where we don't recognize Jesus is with us. When we're traveling along life's journey and we're going through difficult times, we don't always feel the presence of Jesus. We don't recognize him there. But like those disciples, we can look back and realize, Jesus was with us all along. Were not our hearts burning within us? We didn't recognize him then, but looking back, he was with us.
Today's story teaches us that Jesus enters into our every Emmaus, our every grief, our every anxiety, our ever overwhelmingness, our every frustration, our every sickness, our every sadness, our every depression, our every worry. Jesus shows up. The risen Lord Jesus shows up in every part of our journey. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't even have to believe it. You can be confused. You can be doubtful. You can be uninformed. You can lack understanding about the scriptures from Moses and all through the prophets. You can even be foolish. Jesus will show up. Listen again to what Luke, the storyteller, says at the beginning of this story. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and was with them. Jesus himself came near. They didn't recognize him. Whether we recognize him or not, Jesus comes near. And those disciples didn't recognize him at first. And when we don't recognize Jesus, it's okay. But know that he's with us at every single meal. He's with us on every single walk. He's with us in every struggle, in every worry, in every frustration, etc., etc., etc. One final thought. At the end of today's story, the two disciples quickly return to Jerusalem that evening at nighttime, and the story ends in faith, and it ends in joy with all the believers gathered together. Luke wants us to know that Jesus is with us also when we gather together in joy. Now, to be honest, when I hear about this story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, I usually forget that this story took place on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, on the day of resurrection. But it did. That's the day it took place. Friends in Christ, that's when it all began for us, the day of resurrection, Easter Sunday. And from that day forward, Jesus walks with us every day, all the time. Let us pray. You know the drill. Bring to your minds all the griefs and all the struggles and the anxieties and the worries and the pains of your life and the life of those you love and the whole world. Bring to mind all these things, but also bring to mind today your joys and all the good things in your life. Bring to mind the love that you experience, the joys of family. And know that Jesus enters in now. And listen to him say, I am near. I am with you. I am here. I am here.